everybody, and welcome to NWR Connectivity episode 282. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, joined as always by my friend and director of Nintendo Report, John Raritan.
We're friends now? I thought we were just work colleagues.
It took a while, but we got there.
Yes, I earned it.
And also, special guest after he missed the Metroid episode, but he'll be back for the other ones, Zach Miller.
Hey, folks.
I think you had a reasonable excuse, though.
Yeah, I was in a hospital.
Yeah, that's fair. How are you feeling?
Seems ridiculous.
Oh, good. I got put on antibiotics. They're going in right now, in fact, into a port in my chest, and hope to be off them by Friday.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I will say, having one less person on that podcast wasn't the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah, so, that's kind of what I thought when I listened to it. I don't know how you guys avoided like nothing but crosstalk.
Well, we didn't. Yeah, I mean, it's just all edited out. Yeah.
It's all edited.
I listen to the six tracks and pick one person and go, I like their point the best. You get to talk.
All right. So for people keeping track at home, I guess the August 13th episode is going to be our Metroid 2 episode. So we still have two more weeks until we hit up that Metroid 2 goodness. I need to really like earnestly start my replay of Samus Returns. I got like an hour into it, and then we got the Skyward Sword review code.
I'm having the problem of having to play it in a situation where I can record it for our video archive, which severely limits the mobility of this handheld game.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Skyward Sword still.
That's same.
I really like that video game. You can hear last week's episode for more details about that video game.
There's also a new video review of Samus Returns out on our YouTube channel if you're looking for some Metroid 2 themed content while you wait.
Oh, I actually want to watch that today because
you can finally decide Samus if you buy it.
I went through Samus Returns already and I speed ran it, and it's not enjoyable speed running.
How long is a speed run of that game?
My speed run wound up being 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Okay. That's impressive.
I duplicated a YouTuber's run.
Okay. Yeah. What's crazy is that that's the length of a normal Metroid game.
Yeah, exactly.
Like played leisurely.
Yeah.
So, the speedrunning, and that, like, what makes the speedrunning not fun?
Just you have to do all sorts of these awkward maneuvers, and like I had to perfect the infinite bomb jump, which just blows. Okay. It just sucks. And then you have to go through areas you wouldn't normally. It's just a nightmare. And you have to reset a lot if one of the Gamma Metroids is trying to escape, or mostly that. The Gamma Metroids are pieces of shit because they just run away. We'll talk about that in August, though.
It's the kind of thing that I feel like with the lament that Metroid games that come out now like need to be 10 plus hours long, that the elegance of the speed running is going to be lost. And it is, I mean, it's something that, like, I really like Samus Returns, and I would be shocked if I come out of my replay not enjoying it, but I think that there's an aspect, an element of the Metroid series being that speedrunning stuff that, like, Andy talked about at great length on the episode 2 weeks ago, that, like, I think is kind of lost, but it's a necessary evil because, like, you can't put out a $60 or even a $40 game that is, like, 3.5 hours long, which is, if you were to do, like, oh, we're going to do Zero Mission, but it's new, guess what? Like, that's still going to be a full price game or a retail game.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, like, sure. There's an argument that, like, no, Nintendo should give it to WayForward and have it be $20. Like, that's not how they do business.
No.
Unfortunately. I mean,
the other option is to make a complete remake with a new graphical style and hold so true to the original that it's just kind of dull and still costs $60, and it's just Link's Awakening again, with no frills whatsoever.
I didn't realize exactly what you were dunking on, but I knew you were dunking on something.
You have to add in there that it has to run like absolute garbage.
True.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, Why is my Switch struggling to run this Game Boy game?
You know what? It's weird because I think it's come up on this return of the show. I generally try to not talk about it too often because I just feel like it's usually just a bummer. I think Link's Awakening on Switch is crap. I played through it and everything, but like it points out the fact that this was a Game Boy game originally, and the majority of the cool things of Link's Awakening is that they managed to make a Zelda game work on a Game Boy.
Yeah.
It's not that like this is an eternal game that will hold up forever. Like it looks really nice in images, not in practice, because the frame rate is a disaster on Switch.
Yeah. Never been patched.
But the funny thing is that I think I would play the crap out of Link's Awakening, even though it's not even the DX version. But on that Game & Watch that's going to come out in November. Like I'm looking forward to that.
It probably, I mean, even the bad emulation on those Game & Watches, it'll probably run better on that than it does on your Switch.
Yeah, and like, it's also the thing of like, I am more okay with limitations when it's like, oh, look, it's a Game Boy game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then instead of including the fun kind of photo, you know, with the mouse, that the find all the photo spots, let's put in this multiplayer thing where you build a shitty dungeon and save it to your... I can go on about that stupid game.
It's such a bummer because, like, I think the idea of building dungeons and having your friends play it is actually kind of cool. But on what planet are you going to save it to your Link amiibo and then bring it over to your friend's house? Like,
you guys don't just drive down the street throwing Link amiibos out the window?
If you earnestly did that, where you spent time talking to fucking Dompe and were like, yo, I'm going to build this perfect dungeon and go over to Carl's down the road and then he can play it and I'll like trick him. Like, if you did that, cool, right in. I want to meet the one person that did that.
True.
Because it's a cool idea in theory. If we could actually share those levels online, that would be kind of neat.
Man, that'd be great.
Is it just the Link's Awakening amiibo, or is it any Link amiibo?
Yeah, it's just the Link's. Well, that's the whole reason that amiibo exists.
Boy, that really... I was going to say...
No one cared because no one used it. And like, guess what? Like, I did actually use the Loftwing amiibo just to try it out. And like, it's... Okay, whatever. It's honestly... like, I do get that like, it is a little nonsense that Nintendo locked ostensibly a quality of life thing behind an amiibo. But like, it's actually... kind of easier to just go to a bird statue.
Oh, is it?
Because you need to like talk to Fi, you need to get the amiibo out, you need to go click on the amiibo thing.
Oh, you can't just pat it down on the stupid thing?
No.
Shit.
Which I think there's something there is that like you don't want to have the amiibo thing be always on. Like it would probably be a drain on battery.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you could have it. There are unused buttons in that control scheme.
Yeah.
Listen, if I have to talk to Fee, it's not good.
I'll say she's totally fine in the
So she's HD mostly version. Fine, except for the one in Lanayru Desert when you're doing the puzzle with all of like the energy generators and then there's that thing in the middle. If you accidentally push the button so you do it wrong the first time, she's immediately just like, here's the solution. And you cannot, it's not like every other time in that game. Like, they've made it so that whenever she's going to do that, it's now optional and you have to ask her. But for that one thing where it's like the most egregious, they're like, no, that has to stay. And she still just comes out and she's like, this is what you do. And it's like playing a game with an older sibling who's already beat it and won't just let you figure it out. Like, it's, I don't know why that of all things is the one annoying Fee thing they decided to leave in.
Apparently they I'm still blown away that the eye thing is like such a flummox's people.
What though other eye thing that I didn't realize. So you know what is it, Batro, the bat monster that lives under Skyloft?
Yeah.
So he has tiny beady little eyes, and they are so small that I and apparently many other people always thought that like his big yellow evil angry demon eyes were his eyes, but they're not. That's like his makeup, and then he has tiny little eyes that you can't see in standard definition that are also there.
Okay, I need and to it's see weird. This now.
There's a bad guy that's a bat named Batro.
Have you played Skyward Sword?
I played up
to the end. Oh my god.
Listen, I played to the end of the first dungeon in 2007 or whatever it was, and then Fee just was dancing and was talking for like 30 minutes, and I said, I can't do this anymore.
And you were enraptured in the plot? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So interesting. Well,
okay, so there is a character who is like a demon, and he, on the Wii version, it just looks like he has giant yellow angry eyes, but because the game is in HD now, you can see that he actually, that's just like eyeshadow, and he has tiny little eyes, but they're so small that you can't see them in SD.
Wow.
And it's so weird. And I'm assuming by Neil's noises that he also found it.
Yeah. I mean, it is funny. Like, yeah, you should play Skyward Sword at some point.
Yeah, I know.
They cut down the you can skip through the dialogue now.
Yeah,
that's what I hear,
I like Batchelor a lot. That's really like there's a quirkiness to a lot of the people in Skyloft that I dig.
I think my reward for getting through Red Colony 2, which is blue, by the way, is that I'm gonna treat myself to a fucking Skyward Sword.
You sound really excited about it.
Or so Chris stoked. Tales, but maybe on Xbox.
That's fine.
Yeah, like that's that was kind of my suspicion with Chris Tales, is I was going to run like crap on Switch. And
it's a shame.
Well, so
I will say, we talked a little bit before the show that the developer Modus doesn't have, or not the develop, the publisher Modus doesn't have the best track record with Switch ports. But I will say they have, like, I know they've done a bunch of patches for Ari and the Secret of Seasons that apparently make it better. I haven't had the ambition to go back, but so there's a chance that they will support it and maybe fix it up a little bit, hopefully.
Yeah, and Chris Tales still looks like an incredible game, and I want to check it out. I just might not do it on Switch.
It's hard to convince yourself to do it on Switch when it's literally free on another system sitting under your TV.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yep.
So talking about new games that came out, Chris Tales did come out on July 20th this week. We'll have a full review. We got it kind of late, so there was an in-progress review from Jordan Rudek.
Likes it so far.
Yeah, he seems to be digging it, except for, you know, requisite Switch port. But another thing came out today, and that is the Pokemon MOBA, Pokemon Unite.
Pokemoba, you might say.
Yeah, Pokemoba. I played a little bit. I went through the tutorial, played an online match, and it sure is maybe slightly simplified MOBA. And like, it's probably the kind of thing where you can go out there and get your nitty gritty strategic takes out there from people who played League of Legends and Dota and everything. I have sparingly played those video games. So I'm going to talk about this from the perspective of someone who played the crap out of Awesomenauts, which to my money is the best MOBA that ever existed. Because it's just a 2D side scroller MOBA. It's really fun. And it's by the guys who made Sword and Soldiers, which those are really cool. It's a 2D adaptation of the tower defense genre. And then they did a 2D adaptation of MOBA. So it's fun. But I could definitely see where Pokemon Unite being a free-to-play game, there's probably all sorts of spend all the money, be the best like no one ever was because you have deep pockets. That seems to be a potential issue. However, from the little bit that I played, I don't know, it's kind of fun. And, you know, maybe if I know Justin Berube, he friended me when I was doing it. I don't know if there is any kind of way to like kind of party up with people.
Did you decline?
But I could see myself having fun with this because it is kind of like it's very lightweight in that like you just kind of hop in there. A kind of neat, clever thing is that like I played as Charizard in one of them, and you start off as a Charmander at the beginning of the match, and you go around, and part of it is that you are defeating wild Pokemon. You can also fight the other team, but your ultimate goal is that you're trying to defeat Pokemon, defeat the other team to gain they're like Unite Balls or something. And then you have to go over to an area on the other team's side of the ball. It's like kind of a, you know, it's like an isometric thing, but there's like, you know, a left side and a right side. It's a, you know, team-based scoring game where you're going to spots on the other team's side and scoring goals, which is literally the Pokemon goes up and does a wicked slam dunk and, you know, banks all these points. But you can like, you know, fill up your, make your wallet fat by getting a lot of these balls and then going to dunk it in and, you know, getting a lot of Unite ball points. I don't know. There's probably all sorts of weird terminology that I don't understand yet. But it's a nice little loop of how you're going around fighting wild Pokemon. Occasionally you get into skirmishes with the other team that, you know, might lead to you retreating if a couple of them kind of jump you while you're out exploring. And then, you know, your character levels up, you get new moves, you have special moves, you have like a basic attack, and then other ones are on cooldowns. And then you try to score points. The matches are timed. I think the basic match is 10 minutes long. And it's just like, it's kind of fun. Right now I have 3 Pokemon. I have a Charmander. I have, what is it? I'm bad with the names of some Pokemon. Zero Aura or whatever.
Zoroark?
Yeah, that one. That was like a freebie because it's like a new thing. Yeah, a Zero Aura is the one that I got. The electric cat-looking thing.
Oh, I was thinking of that kind of bipedal wolf-looking guy from...
Yeah.
I don't even know what game he's in. There's too many Pokemon now, guys.
Digimon or something. Yu-Gi-Oh.
I also have like a Slowbro or something. But it seems like there's a good handful of Pokemon there. You could be Cramorant, which makes me laugh.
Cramorant? What's that?
It's the weird pelican that like always just has shit in its mouth.
A leper?
No,
there's Cramorant. Multiple. There's too many pelican Pokemon.
We don't need more than one pelican Pokemon.
They're running out of animals.
Well, they're making them up now. Now there's like Vanillish and that whole line and a friggin' Candelabra.
Yeah, there's quit while you're ahead. There's Sandcastle.
Oh yeah. Sandcastle's just its name.
Yeah.
Anyway, it sounds like you like it, Neil.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems cool. Like, I mean, who knows how long I'm actually going to play it. But my first impression is that, like, it seems fine. And, you know, we'll see what updates happens, but they keep supporting it. Like, is this going to be something that's going to be a part of Pokemon for the long haul? Like, I don't know. It just came out.
Is Mario Kart Tour the only of Nintendo's mobile games that you play regularly?
Yes. I okay. did get back into Fire Emblem Heroes for a little bit.
Yeah.
And actually, no, I'm playing Pokemon Go again.
Okay.
Oh. So I'm kind of, that's basically what I'm doing. And Dragalia Lost is something that like I wish I had more time to also do Dragalia Lost, because I think that game is very good. I'm just that like I it helps that Mario Kart Tour is also a thing that I like mess around with my kid.
Mm. Yeah,
sure.
I've been playing it like, yeah, he's been sick for the past couple of days. There's been a lot of Mario Kart Tour being played.
Yeah.
As he's feverish. And I'm like, look at this. We just did a cool thing with Yoshi.
Distraction.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I mean, yeah, Pokemon Unite seems cool. You know what also seems cool? The Nintendo Switch Online. So coming out on July 28th, there are 3 Super Nintendo games being added. There's Claymates, which is a 2D platformer from the same team at Interplay that made Clay Fighter.
What about Plock? Who made Plock?
Oh, dude, they should bring Plock over. Yes, Plock's they great. Should.
Really, as many things as they can bring over before Earthbound is
or Super Mario RPG.
Like, dig in. Go get EA to release their unreleased Wing Commander 2 port. Like, just go start digging up games, make new ones. Whatever you do, don't put out Earthbound.
I mean, I would appreciate that, because Earthbound is crap.
Hey-o.
Oh, no, I'm outnumbered.
Zach was the first person to say it on this episode, so I don't get in trouble.
It's not even like I'm like, oh, Earthbound is the greatest game ever made. Like, nah, like it's fine. There's a lot that I like about that game. It's also like a very dated RPG.
I'll take the if I mean, yeah, I guess
Earthbound is a vibe I love.
Yeah, it's got a great soundtrack.
That's true.
Supreme soundtrack.
But like in the pantheon of SNES RPGs that could and should be added to the SNES Online, Earthbound is not high on the list. And I don't even like RPGs, but I can think of some RPGs I'd rather have than Earthbound.
Secret of Evermore.
that probably wasn't one of them, but like, sure.
I mean, they should do that. Like that game, what's that? I think that game was on Wii Virtual Console.
What? I don't.
Everything was on Wii Virtual Console.
It might have been.
I'm trying to.
Genesis games were on Wii Virtual Console. Oh, it was a weird time.
TurboGrafx games were on.
No. It doesn't look like it was out on Wii Virtual Console. That would be cool though. Like I think that Secret of Evermore falls in that thing of like I didn't like Mana games at all when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I did own that at one point. I wound up selling it. Probably if I held on to it, I'd get a lot more money now. But at the time, like probably made decent bank on it. I think I had a good ROI because I got it cheap at a Funko Land and then wound up selling it for probably double the price that I paid.
I have a repro of that game that I've never seen if it worked.
Oh.
I just buy random repros when I see them and they're cheap.
But I would totally try out Secret Evermore again. It's just a weird, like, it's like a weird footnote kind of because it's this bizarre, like Squaresoft making a Mana game that was kind of, you know, but I think it was made by a Western team.
Really?
But it's basically kind of like a Mana game, but not really.
Yeah.
It's not like, bad.
Yeah. It's direct combat. It's like you're hitting things with a bone and your dog.
Yep. So Claymates is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Claymates. Yeah.
I'll probably check it out. The next is Jelly Boy, which is a European only game that came out in 1995. It's another morphing platformer where you're the main character tries to meet the managers of factories by transforming into objects.
I like that.
This is from Donald Terrio, our wonderful news editor, from his new story on Nintendo Report. It was made by Probe Software, who ported a bunch of games.
Oh, sure. I really like, I know nothing about this game, but I do like the animation of when your weird Jelly Boy like pelvic thrusts and then a fist comes
it's
out
uncomfortable.
Of like where other things would probably be on an anatomical person and then like punches people. It's this weird like swing attack. And I that kind of sold me on it. I'll be honest. This might be my game of the year,
but it's a European platformer. So there's a kind of a coin flip there of whether it'll be good or not, but so I will play it just for that animation.
It's like our platformers, but like with drier humor.
Yeah. and you can't tell where you can jump or not.
Pip pip.
Yeah.
Cereal.
Yeah.
The third game is Bomboozle. It's also known as Kablooey. This came out in 1991. It's a puzzle game where you want to like set off a series of bombs so that way you don't blow up and all the bombs blow up.
It looked vaguely
I dug into this a little bit. Like apparently this is a port or seemingly a little bit of an upgraded port of like an Amiga era game that is
interesting.
For its time was supposed to be very good. It was very well received.
Okay.
It probably like it's one of those things where it probably doesn't hold up today, but like once again, like I look at Nintendo Switch Online and I think I've had this thought before and Justin Berube aired it on Twitter after these were revealed that like, if you want to know what it was like to like go to a video game rental store in like 1995, go look at Nintendo Switch Online.
Because
it is this weird hodgepodge of like junky games and like stone cold classics. And it kind of excites me that I've heard of Claymates. I think this might have been the first time I saw it like running. I've never heard of Jelly Boy or Bomboozle before.
Yeah.
Are they going to be good? I don't know, but it's cool that they are, you know, re-releasing games that are basically unknowns.
Especially stuff like you said, Jelly Boy's never been out in America before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's
cool.
Legitimately kind of neat. I don't know. Like that's more what I want out of this service than the games that I own multiple SNES copies of and multiple virtual console copies of and a SNES classic that has them all on there. Like, no, give me some stuff that I haven't even heard of before. That's what I want to play.
I do like the idea of like somebody who's never played some random game on the NES or SNES services and they go in there like they're like the Immortal becomes their favorite game.
Yeah.
Like I doubt it would happen, but that kind of obscure stuff that nobody's ever played, it's cool that you can try them out.
Yeah.
So this is something I'm looking at the press release, and this is something I might need to investigate a little bit offline, but I just want to mention it now. So the press release has like the copyrights for all the different games. Bamboozle and Jelly Boy are both copyright of Throwback Entertainment Inc. Just going to their website, apparently they also have the rights to like Extreme G3, Iggy's Wrecking Balls, Aggressive Inline, Vex. I mean, it seems like, so I guess with that is Aggressive Inline. There was some news that broke before recording about how apparently, like, I guess Activision has a frat boy mentality, to which, John, you said in our site Slack about how, like, that's basically just what the early Tony Hawk games were, which is extremely true, as much as I adore those games. But oh, yeah. I will tell you one game that took that too far, and that was Aggressive Inline. Which is a game that I play a lot of. It's basically Tony Hawk, but you're an inline skater. If the name did not give it away. I did break that out kind of not recently, but like a couple years ago. And like, it's like basically just like, oh, here's a school age girl in a short skirt.
No.
And I'm like, no, I just wanted two tricks and shit.
My wife and I were actually talking about that because I was playing the Tony Hawk remasters. And then like looking at the, like, especially like Tony Hawk 3 and Tony Hawk Underground, and just because I mentioned in the remasters that like when you make a character, you don't even choose a gender for your character. Like there are some heads that look a little more masculine or feminine.
Yeah, that's true.
None of it's specific. You cannot give your character a coconut bra because that would be weird. Like, but that's that was everywhere in the old Tony Hawk games.
Yeah, it was.
And it's just not there. Yeah. It's so weird to like think back on now and be like, oh yeah, that was weird that we were all cool with that.
True.
Because it was like horrible.
So I clicked into their Aggressive Inline thing here, and it has notes of key features, which there's a bunch of pros that are there. Sven Bokhurst, that's a name that I remember. Matt Lindemuth, Shane Yost. And that's the first thing. The first bullet point is like, we got all these pros. Then the next bullet point is several sultry female skaters to choose from, including Chrissy, Jordan, and Bombshell, each anatomically correct with gravity-defying physics, which provide ample relief to the typical video game grind.
Oh, no.
You know, I can't read that stuff anymore. It's like rewatching something like Van Wilder now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like, oh, geez, no.
I did like, I watched that, the Apu docu, like, it's the Indian comedian
who led
the charge. It's basically just like a dude having a therapy session for an hour, which is totally fine. But he interviews Cal Penn, who was in Van Wilder, and he plays a character in that movie named Taj Mahal, which is like, and he tells a story about how like he got offered that role. And like, his agent's like, you're going to play a character named Taj Mahal. And he was like, no, I'm not. Like, are you kidding me? Like, no, I can't do this. And like, his agent, like, he wound up doing it because his agent was like, listen, man, like, if you want to make it, like, you got to do crap like this sometimes. And, you know, like he talked about how like it's the kind of thing where I think like making those actual movies with those, like the people, like probably, you know, working with Ryan Reynolds and the director and everything, it was probably totally fine. But like the fact that you're doing a character that's just a horrific parody of your culture.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's a lot of things that like I look back on that I thought was like very funny and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Things have changed since I was 14.
Yep.
But I do remember Aggressive Inline, the video game, playing totally fine.
Oh.
Yeah. They should just do what Disney does with some of their old cartoons and put a little disclaimer on the beginning. It says, like, yo, this was made in 1999. So brace yourself.
Yeah. So that's about it that I have to say about the Nintendo Switch Online games. They come out July 28th. If you're chomping at the bit, try Jelly Boy.
I'm gonna try Jelly Boy just for that move. They should have put that. They should have put that in Battletoads or something.
Yeah, it has kind of that vibe to it. And I do. I will say, like, when these updates come out, I do kind of excitedly boot it up and play, you know, a little bit of each of these games. Now and then, I find one that that I play a bit more of. I'm not going to finish any of them, but like, it's a service I don't pay very much for. And like, it's fun to explore these games that I've never even heard of before.
Yeah, agree.
So let's talk about something, I guess, it's the real Switch Pro. The Steam Deck, which got announced last week, I think right after we recorded. So the Steam Deck is basically, it's kind of what people wanted the Switch Pro to be in a way. It is a beefy boy. looks like a Switch. There's even a dock, and it basically uses Steam OS and kind of just functions like a computer.
And Linux, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can theoretically play all of your Steam games on it. Some of them will probably be more optimized for it than others. I think there's supposedly some sort of process that is being used that'll kind of make the transition very easy. But like, some games with smaller text probably won't look nice on that thing. But for the most part, it should just play your Steam games, which at face value, that sounds really awesome.
Yeah, it does. I have a lot of Steam games that I don't touch because they're on a computer.
Yeah, like I'm very intrigued by the Steam Deck. John, how do you feel about it?
I think that it'll be a really great device for playing indie games that are probably also on Switch. I guess it'll probably play Chris Tales better. Like, but like, I'm not sure. I think it's a cool product. Like, I won't take that away, and I think it'll do okay at launch. I think Steam or Valve's history for stuff like this means that they will not support it for more than a year. Like this won't be around by like 2023. But like, at the same time, it'll have a huge modding community and fan community that I'm sure will support it long after its official support is gone. But my main concern is that the control setup is ridiculous, but more on that later. And I don't see, you mentioned a little bit about optimization, but I've seen some concern from developers who have talked about how when they make, say, like a Switch version of a game, like they have to optimize for it. So you kind of have an assurance, you should have an assurance with Switch games that like they will run on the Switch. It doesn't sound like currently there is any real barrier for determining what can and can't run on this thing, because it's not a super powerful computer. Like, it's $400. The tech, like the hardware inside of it isn't, I mean, it's good for the size that it is, and the fact that the battery doesn't just explode when you turn it on, like it is very, like, it's good. But as far as like booting this thing up and, you know, running, say you want to run, you know, Jedi Fallen Order or some, you know, nice looking PC game, like, unlike a console, like a dedicated console, which is essentially what this thing is trying to be, those games aren't necessarily all going to be optimized for it. And you won't, at least currently, and they may fix this before it actually comes out because it'll be delayed indefinitely, but there is not currently any way to tell if a game is actually designed to work on this thing. And beyond most modern games not fitting on it, most of them are like, I don't see how they're going to actually run on this without Switch levels of optimization. Like, I like the idea of this thing, but I struggle to believe in its actual ability to do what it needs to do. And even if it can at launch, like the thing about PC games is the hard thing about being a PC gamer is that you have to constantly kind of upgrade your tech little by little as you go and as things develop, because it's not a console where it's, this is what we're at for 7 years. You are always making these little upgrades. So this is not going to be an upgradable thing. You are buying this and it's going to stay there. It's like buying a tablet. And so within, even if Steam does continue to support this for a while, within a couple years, nothing's going to run on it. And I just like, I think it will be cool if it works, but I just don't, I don't know. I'm pretty pessimistic about it actually pulling it off.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't know who the market for this thing is.
Yeah.
It might be for people like me who have a Steam library right now that's just collecting dust and has been for years, but I don't know if I want to pay, you know, $500 to do that when I could just walk my lazy ass into this computer room and play them.
Yeah.
And the button layout, by the way, awful.
Oh, it's terrible. That's not how my thumbs rotate on an axis. Like the Switch control, like the Joy-Cons are bad.
That it but... actually... Like people that have played it are okay with it. I do.
Oh, really?
Visually, it looks like
I'm sure the people who have played it right now are the people who Steam called in to say, "Hey, can you write something really positive about our machine?"
Yeah.
Like that. That's not. I mean, glue your Joy-Con sideways onto the side of your Switch, and then try to reach from the buttons to the control stick without moving your entire hand, because you can't, because it's the edge of the system. And I have tiny hands. I don't think I can play this thing. Like, it might be impossible for me.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous.
In an awkward position relative to the screen, too.
Yeah, they're like, wait, yeah, it's a weird... So, when, the Dreamcast, and by extension, the original Xbox came out, it was very obvious that they needed to lay out their buttons in a way that wasn't Nintendo.
Right, exactly.
And I feel like this is Valve going, all right, it can't quite be a Switch. Where can we put stuff to make it not quite a Switch? And we could turn the Joy-Con sideways.
Yeah, we could start putting the buttons onto the side of the system.
Won't that make it the width of an Atari Lynx? What if we make a little
thumb pad that's a mouse?
Despite it being a touchscreen.
Right. Yeah. So those... I have heard from people who are way more into the Steam controller, which is secretly a piece of trash, but please don't tell the PC Master Race. But the people who are into the Steam controller, they love that thing. So, because the Steam controller has those same touch pads. It's like all the joys of playing a game on your phone, but way more expensive. Yeah.
And then you're trendy.
Yeah. PC Master Race, you guys need to take a look in the mirror. And I say that as I have a gaming PC too. Like I'm one of you as well, but goddamn, it's stop. But yeah, that's my opinion on the Steam Deck.
I mean, for me, I am
did you pre-order one?
No, I didn't.
God, no.
Okay.
I'm very curious about it.
Yeah,
my problem with it is that I kind of don't want. I want to see what the word is on it before I want it. Which, I mean, it is kind of funny. So they announced it and then had the whole pre-order window, and they said it's coming December 2020.
Well, it's 2021. Shipping.
Yeah, December. Shipping December 2021.
Yeah,
that's so soon. If you pre-ordered it, the first wave of pre-orders said estimated time of arrival Q1 2022.
Of course.
So it's shipping in December. That doesn't, but they don't expect
it's
it to get to
you.
It's
very slow shipping.
Yeah. And then very quickly, the estimates started to be Q2, Q3. There's three different models. There's basically the junky model for $400 and then the better ones for, I think, $550 and $650.
Yeah.
And, for me, I like the idea of it. I like the idea of being able to play my PC games on a handheld. And I know that it's not going to be, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to run everything perfectly. But if I can, for example, the Trails in the Sky, Trails of Cold Steel, it'd be really cool to just all play those on a portable.
Yeah.
And that would be feasible with the Steam Deck. But that's not something I want to spend $550 on, and that's not something that I want to do kind of on spec. So I'm interested in it. I do agree that there's also concerns about how long will Steam support this thing, because when people are like, oh, throw the Switch in the trash, I'm like, yeah, but we know that Nintendo's going to support their system for 5 years. I mean, they supported the fucking Wii U for 4.5 years. They'll support anything.
People are very quick to forget, this is not the first time Steam has tried to make a console. like I keep saying, I guess I should say Valve. This is not the first time Valve has tried to make a console. Like they've been trying to do this for a long time. You don't remember any of that because they didn't support them for more than a month. Like even the Steam controller, like that's not supported officially by Steam. It's supported by fans.
Like, oh, really?
They throw hardware out into the wild and then say good luck and trust, because I mean, in all fairness, the PC community is very into you know, modding and supporting this stuff themselves. And so arguably Valve doesn't have to, but they're going to toss this thing out, leave it to die and enjoy their pre-order money.
Oh,
And I just, yeah. But the other thing worth mentioning is, I mean, I said the 64 gig one, which is the only one that's coming out. The only one that has kind of a release date is the 64 gig one. And yes, it has expandable. So 64 gigs will not get you anything that isn't like a small indie game at this point. Like most AAA games are like 100 gigs if you're getting the PC version.
Oh, God.
So they will not fit. Yes, you can buy a micro SD card, but then you're playing off of the read-write speed of an SD card as opposed to the solid state drive, which is in this thing, which is what you need to run a modern PC game. You do not run modern PC games off of an SD card. That would be suicidal. So it just, like, unless you only want to play tiny indie games, for the love of God, do not buy the 64 gig model if you're going to buy this thing. Like, just don't. Because that's the other, like when comparing this to Switch, like, yes, the Switch only has 32 gigs internal memory, but I have the option with most games to just go out and buy a physical copy and not have to take up any space on my system outside of a couple megs for a save file.
Yeah.
That's not an option here. I have to buy these games digitally, and the hard drives they're building into this thing won't actually support that.
Yeah.
It's like, they clearly want to do this, but like they don't actually seem to have the resources or like the tools to actually accomplish what they want to do, and it's like they're just like, well, this is as close as we got, and so they're throwing it out there and seeing if it sticks.
Yeah,
but
it's no good.
Yeah, I don't know. Pre-order away. Enjoy.
I mean, I pre-ordered the Switch OLED since
me too.
Since last we talked.
It's not like I can really come at this from like, I'm not going to waste my money on garbage hardware.
Throw out $350. Like, no, nah, I'm going to. The screen's slightly bigger. I'm down.
I have a complete inbox Virtual Boy. Like, I'm not coming here from a position of wise investments. But I just. I can't. I just don't see this working as much as I would love it to work. I do think it'll be a really cool ROM box. Like, it's Linux based. Like, nobody's actually going to play Steam on this thing. Like, they're just going to load it up with RetroArch.
Yeah.
Like, and it's cheaper. It's probably cheaper to buy one of these than go hunt down a launch day Switch if you don't already have one so that you can mod that. But no, just get a Vita. And that's the Steam Deck talk.
Yeah, so to close out the show, Zach, since you did miss our Metroid 1, Metroid Zero Mission podcast, as we talked about at the start of the show, and you were one of the people that I first wanted to reach out to do anything with the Metroid Game Club. So do you have any like written down points, or did you just want to slowly go over the games?
No, I'll just I didn't have prepared remarks, but I'll just kind of go in the order you guys went in. I played the original Metroid, you know, back when I had an NES and was playing a lot with my friends. We all had the same systems, but I didn't get it. I didn't know where to go or what I was supposed to do, so I just kind of dropped it very quickly. And didn't really pick it up again until, I mean, honestly, probably around Metroid Prime, when it was an unlockable game in Fusion, I believe, for connecting it to Metroid Prime. And then I did play it a lot, honestly. I don't know if I ever really enjoyed it completely, but I enjoyed kind of making a map and finding all the items, and I didn't speed run it like Andy did, but I kind of enjoyed it for what it was, and I appreciated it for what it was trying to do when you cast your mind back to like 1987. certainly every other Metroid game is much, much better than the original Metroid. And like the rest of you, I would not necessarily, you know, shout from the rooftops that people should play it, because they shouldn't unless they really want to. But I do appreciate it for what it is. But then Zero Mission is the game I really like. It's fast, and I know it back to front by now. I've replayed that game dozens of times. I know where pretty much all the items are right from the bat. But, you know, I'm kind of down on the Zero Suit segment. I know you guys were kind of two minds of it. Like, you liked it from a narrative perspective, but maybe it was, you know, belonged in another game. And John, I think you said it belonged in Metroid Dread, which is absolutely true. That's what they wound up doing with it. But it's just so long. Am I wrong about that? It just goes on and on and on.
I don't remember it being extensive, but I guess it feels long because it's you're coming off of like the what could be the finale.
Right.
And it really slows things back down, which I guess could probably kind of make it feel longer than it.
Yeah.
Like, I think in terms of footprint within the game, I don't think it's particularly long.
That's probably true. But it's that the corridor maze just.
Yeah.
It's too much. And then you get the power suit, and that segment is so cool. I know you guys don't like that boss fight, and it is kind of a pain in the ass, but I love the cutscene that immediately follows it, where she's being, you know, bathed in that glow of light, and her power suit comes up.
It is pretty good. Like, I like the power moment of it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like, and it's not the best boss in the game by a large stretch. And once again, I still think my takeaway from a lot of thinking about Metroid and replaying Metroid is, I think the bosses in the series might just be kind of bad.
Yeah, the 2D games don't have good bosses at all. And we'll talk about that more, especially, like, I know I was only supposed to play Metroid and Zero Mission, but I kind of played all of them. And I can tell you, none of them have good boss fights.
It's okay. I started this game playing Super Metroid, so I get
it.
Oh,
there you go. Oh, yeah. But yeah, so that I think what bugs me about the segment is that you get through that segment with the Zero Suit Samus, and then you have to go all the way back through the whole stupid thing with the power suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're just kind of doing the same area twice, and especially if you're going for 100%, you gotta spend way more time there than you really want to. But man, I like me some Zero Mission. I don't like the bosses. I was laughing real hard when you guys were saying you walk in and Ridley appears and he just dies.
He doesn't. I mean, yeah, as long as you know to just hold down the missile button right. And unload, like.
Especially if you found a good amount of super missile expansions, yeah, he's just immediately dead. Poor bastard
doesn't stand a chance. Yeah, you almost just feel sorry for him.
That was very good. No, I really like Zero Mission a lot. Despite the Zero Suit segment and the bad bosses, it's got great music. Really good graphics. I think it's one maybe the best 2D games have looked.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The one thing that bothers me about the graphics is that Samus's sprite is slightly bigger than the spaces she can fit through. And so like constantly like her head will kind of like if you're in like a short hallway, like her head will go behind the rocks.
Oh, you're right.
And it's like, it doesn't matter, but it just bugs me.
Yeah.
I do think it looks great. And there is like the kind of the way, you know, it being designed for the Game Boy Advance, like I feel like the colors are a lot more vibrant, mm-hmm. just because like they were making it for, I guess the SP was out by then, but like they still kind of made it for not having a great backlit screen. But my thing is, God, the Game Boy Advance music is just terrible.
Like, it's very tinny, yeah.
like, yeah, like the music itself, like how it is composed,
the
like
compositions,
I think it's the same. It's been like Yamamoto, I think, has been the guy. I think there's like two guys that have consistently done the Sakamoto music in Metroids for since Super or something.
Yeah.
The music's great compositionally, but in practice of the game, I just, the Game Boy Advance speakers really let me down on this replay. And I think some of it is because I was playing it on Wii U. But like that, it really is something that, as I, you know, even said 2 weeks after we recorded the episode, I just think Zero Mission is not my favorite in the series, which is like a weird, I'll see what happens as I get through Samus Returns and then, you know, replay Super, which I think Super might've been the last one that I don't think I finished it when it came out on Nintendo Switch Online, but I played a good chunk of it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, kind of thinking ahead a little bit, I think Super Samus Returns is my favorite 2D Metroid. That's not Dread. And
Dread is already my favorite.
I mean, I can't count Dread in. But it is a thing where I think that really all four of them, Zero Mission, Samus Returns, Super, and Fusion, all four of them are great.
Sure.
A lot of these gradations of picking which one I like more than the other is really, it's like, if we were to put this on a review score level, like probably all four of those 2D Metroid games are like between a 9.5 and an 8.5. They're all fantastic.
You know, I feel like I'm probably going to get in some kind of fist fight with Matt about Super Metroid, but that was another game I replayed this last month, and man, that I just, you know, after Fusion and Zero Mission and Samus Returns, that's a hard one to go back to.
Am I going to have an ally in maybe Super Metroid some problems?
You are absolutely going to have an ally in that fight.
Zach,
sweet.
Zach, don't you have to go back to the hospital in
September? You're very ill.
I mean, I'll save it for the Super Metroid talk, but I mean, that game is so... Yeah, it's such a australopithecine of the Metroid games. It's like it's not quite there yet. I see where you're going with this. It's better than the previous effort, but we just need one more iteration.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think it's maybe even my takeaway from all this replay will be like my 3D Mario takeaways from last year, where I think my conclusion after playing a crap load of 3D Mario last year was that like they're all flawed. Sure. There are things in each game that I love. There are things in each game that I think are rough around the edges. Even like, I think I kind of settled on like maybe Galaxy is my favorite, and that's a game that my son keeps on gravitating towards. And like, some of those purple coin things are just bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anytime you have to throw trash in the furnace or whatever that shit was.
Or like, kick bombs at trash or whatever the hell. Yeah. I think Galaxy is incredible. But like, it's not, I don't see it as kind of like, 100% this is the best 3D Mario game. And that's why I kind of settled that. Bowser's Fury is the best 3D Mario game. That is the correct answer. That game has shown very little flaws to me, the more I play it. And, I think Super Mario Odyssey, just with the movement of Mario, even if there's other things I don't like about that game, the movement's just so good.
Yeah.
And I feel like that might be my ultimate takeaway from a lot of the Metroid stuff, because I think like, you know, Super wrote the script, so to speak.
It's kind of the modern playbook for Metroid.
Yeah. And it's rough around the edges. Like the platforming's probably some of the worst in the series.
Yep.
There's some other things that are a little janky, but I think the atmosphere and the vibe of that game still trumps every other entry in the series to me.
We keep saying we'll talk about this more and then continuing to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I will say Super Metroid is the first Nintendo Switch Online game that I've actually played through played through an entire game on the Nintendo Switch Online service. Like, having not played that since, I think the last time I played through it was in high school. So,
oh shit.
That was 10 years ago for me. I guess a little bit more than that. So I didn't remember a lot of it, but I was impressed by that game is legitimately compelling. You know? Like it's not just sometimes when you boot up like a classic game, it's like, oh, I remember this and I'm playing it for nostalgia. But like Super Metroid, I boot that up and I'm like, no, I need to know what happened. Like I need to see what's next.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's a very, despite very minimal narrative, like it's, I was extremely engrossed in that game.
Yeah.
It's hard to stop once you start.
Yeah. Yeah.
The introduction of that game is so good.
Yeah.
And it's actually, you know, kind of to bring it back to Zero Mission, I always kind of saw Zero Mission as this kind of update of Super Metroid or update to Metroid that was kind of moving into being an update of Super Metroid because so much of the map is similar. And I'm honestly surprised they didn't throw Meridia in there in some capacity.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't because Meridia is the fucking worst.
Yes.
But I was surprised they didn't put it in.
Yeah. No, it's well, and it's interesting because its goal was clearly to bring it up to the standard of Super Metroid, but I would say they certainly leapfrogged right over it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I mean those are my thoughts. And as for I've gotten all the endings in Zero Mission for all the speedruns and item completions. I really like the backstory images that that game throws in.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the first, I mean, you guys talked a lot about the manga and the manga is like sadly canonical. But most people have never read it. So
it's not the saddest part. I mean, Other M is also canonical somehow,
least
where it doesn't actively conflict with other parts of the canon.
Right.
But
for the North American players, I think the ending images of Zero Mission are probably the first real kind of look back at Samus's past before. I don't know. What's the next game that really goes into her past? Probably Metroid Other Prime through text.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause Prime talks about her past with the Chozo.
Yeah.
Zero Mission is definitely the beginning of Sakamoto being like I can do something with the Chozo. And I'm going to reconstruct the original Metroid to make it about this. And setting up his plot that he would follow in the later games, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Agreed. Because, man, I can't wait for Dread.
Me neither. I'm super excited. I'm ready for another 2D Metroid, even though I just played all four 2D Metroids.
We are 2.5 months away. Two and a half months away from Metroid Dread. It's so exciting.
Samus Returns is making me realize that everything I dislike about Samus Returns is purely because it's based on a Game Boy game.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, boy, if I could play this, but not have it be limited by the fact that it's based on a Game Boy game.
Yeah.
I think I would, I think it might wind up being my favorite. So I'm very optimistic for
now, John, did you play, and Neil, do I need to, I forgot to put this on in my Google Drive, but have you played, either of you played AM2R?
I have.
Okay.
I've played a little bit of it. We'll talk about it more on the Metroid 2 show. Okay. I think it's okay.
I think it's fine. It's
that's what I'd say.
It is a very good fan game that I don't think holds a candle to the actual Nintendo made Metroid 2 remake.
Fair. Yeah. But yeah. I'm excited to talk about those two, those three games, honestly, next month.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, I think that's, I think we'll kind of, because we could probably just talk a long time about Metroid, so I'll kind of put a pin in that. but we are getting near the end of July, rounding the corner into, Q3, firmly in Q3, going to the fall.
Yep.
And it seems like August, the next week, there's going to be some sizable releases. Are either of you guys interested in The Great Ace Attorney or Neo, The World Ends With You?
Nope.
All right. Cool. I'm probably going to get The Great Ace Attorney. And I haven't looked too much into how this exactly will function. I might ask our reviewer about it. There is some kind of like super guide mode, which kind of excites me because that's something in Ace Attorney games that usually would frustrate me because it's like when like, you know, the solution to like, you know, like, okay, this is what happened, but you need to like follow the very specific steps.
Yeah.
Just adventure game bullshit.
That's kind of why I don't like the Ace Attorney games.
So, I mean, I'll report back because I think The Great Ace Attorney, it seems to be very good. And like everything that I've heard with like the 3DS versions and the fan translations that came out of that, like I enjoy those games a great deal, and these seem like good versions of those games. I think Shu Takumi, the writer of the original games and writer of the best DS game Ghost Trick.
Ghost Trick is so good.
I believe he wrote the Great Ace Attorney games. And if that little like hint mode super guide thing, if that works the way I think it would, which is just like, okay, I'm frustrated looking for this specific path that I need to take to get to the obvious answer, I could just like hit a button and have that happen. I think there's like a story mode too. Like, I like the Ace Attorney stories a lot. So I'm excited for that. And Nier: The World's End With You, I'm fascinated by, especially after the whole thing where they sold the games that came with the codes and now they're not going to be codes and blah.
What?
Yeah, I know I said it on Slack, but I feel like there could be a very strong argument made about that.
Yeah. Anyway, there's video games coming out, and then we have August, and then just biding our time to WarioWare and Metroid.
Mostly WarioWare.
Oh yeah, WarioWare.
I'm really excited for WarioWare. That looks great.
Man, that reminds me. I need to go out and buy WarioWare Gold, because those are some fun games, man.
Yeah, I would say WarioWare Gold's totally worth messing around with. It's kind of like the greatest hits of WarioWare.
Yeah. Like the Rhythm Heaven thing.
Yeah, which also a really great game that if you didn't play Rhythm Heaven Megamix.
Definitely.
3DS still rules. All right. That's going to be a show. Zach, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, dude.
John, thanks for also being here.
Hey, I tend to be.
And if you want to write in to give us some listener mail, write in connectivity@integralreport.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at connectivityNWR. And we'll see you next week. Maybe I'll be talking about Great Ace Attorney. Maybe we'll be talking about other things too.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.
So I guess, I think, do you have points prepared? Zach? Did we lose Zach?
Zach? How long do you think he's been gone?
Zach!